God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. Today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And I didn't make up those words. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott. But the words that I'm quoting for you are from Jeremiah 31:3 and Deuteronomy 33:27. The Bible really does say that you are loved with an everlasting love and that underneath are the everlasting arms. And I would hope that today you'll think of the wonder of those words. Some of you that have never been loved, you're always loved with an everlasting love, and you are always held in those everlasting arms. To be friendless and uncared for has got to be the extreme of human abandonment. I've never been friendless and uncared for. Some of you have. But a Christian can never say, nobody knows or cares. Somebody does. Somebody knows everything, and somebody cares more than anybody else. God loves you. God cares for you. God sent His Son to die for you. We can learn unlimited intimacy and all-embracing sympathy, security beyond the reach of any kind of separation or misunderstanding. Have you trusted that love? Do you believe in it? Do you ask the Lord to teach you more of what it means? Today I want to begin a 3-week series on what it means to be a man, a true man, only a man. And I mean man not in the generic way, but in the specific way as opposed to woman. What it means to be a man. And I hope you women will listen with both ears, and I hope that you men who listen to me are willing to listen to this subject too. It's something that certainly should concern both men and women. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, we read, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." Well, that old-fashioned word, quit you like men, means live like men. The word quit is in Greek, andridzeste. Now, some of you children can say that word, I know. It's wonderful to see the way little children can repeat words in any language. So why not learn a Greek word today? Andridzeste. It has the root of the word that means man, to meet the expectations of becoming a man. Live like men. That's what quit you like men means. Meet the expectations. Become a man. Act like a man, as opposed to a woman, or as opposed to a child. Andridzeste. Quit you like men. Be strong. Now we live in a world in which we are being told that the roles of men and women are no longer very different. In fact, they're practically interchangeable. We hear a lot about equality and rights. Well, instead of going over what the world is telling us on this program, it's our purpose always to go back to what God says. If God says anything at all about the subject, then let's talk about what God says. Let's take our cues from Him rather than from the television and the newspapers and the magazines. Admittedly, most of us realize that there has been a real confusion of both masculinity and femininity. Men are afraid to be men, lest they be accused of being macho, which is not always a complimentary word. And as for femininity, the feminists have convinced many women that they should forget about femininity and just be persons. Well, it's no wonder that we're in trouble. And I think it's big trouble. If you really want my opinion, I think we are in very big trouble. As soon as we begin to erase or even to smudge a little bit those boundaries between the sexes, we are in trouble. And I've been watching this phenomenon for pretty close on almost 30 years, and watching it with growing dismay. And I am a men observer, not a men basher, or I perhaps should say a man basher, but a man observer. I grew up with four brothers. I only had one sister, so I had more opportunity to observe masculinity in my home than I did femininity. And as many of you know, I have my third husband now, the first two having died. But some of my observations in the last 30 years include a certain degree of timidity in men about commitment. Commitment to anything, to what college to go to what to major in, to what career to prepare for, commitment to a job once they've gotten a job, and most obviously, commitment to marriage. It seems as though men are going right through their teens and 20s without even a thought of getting married. And when they get into their 30s, they might begin to think about starting to commence to concentrate on the possibility of marriage somewhere in the future. But there is this strange hesitance and timidity. Then there's an unwillingness to put away childish things. Just yesterday, as we were driving home from the airport, we were stopped at a red light, and the most appalling racket came up behind us. Well, it was two young men on two motorcycles. I had never seen motorcycles exactly like them before. They happened to be white. I think of most motorcycles as being black or bright red or having a lot of chrome on them, but these motorcycles were white. And one of these men was really showing off like a three-year-old child, putting the front wheel way up in the air and then putting it back down on the ground and doing something, I don't know what in the world he was doing, to his brakes or his gears or something, that made the back wheel jump while he was sitting on it waiting for the light to change. And I thought of Paul the Apostle saying, when I became a man, I put away childish things, games, toys. How many games and toys, expensive games and toys, do grown men really need? An unwillingness to handle money wisely. Then there's a preoccupation with fitness, with a cowboy image. Please don't misunderstand and think that Elizabeth Elliot is against all of these things. I'm just trying to paint a picture here of some of the things that I've seen coming to the forefront. This timidity about commitment, this unwillingness to put away childish things, preoccupation with money, with fitness, and I believe in fitness, of course. But the cowboy image, the cowboy boots and cowboy hats and the fringe jackets and the blue jeans, appropriate on a ranch, of course, but not necessarily everywhere else. My question is there anything distorted here? Well, let's go back to what God says about men, and we have to begin in the first chapter. Adam and Eve were created by God, created in the image of God, with intelligence, imagination, and will. Adam, I believe, was created to be the initiator, the one responsible for all of creation, and responsible when God made a help for him, a helper named Eve, responsible to provide for her, to care for her, to protect her. These are what people nowadays would call traditional views. And that word traditional usually has quotation marks around it in people's minds. And it's thought of as rather outdated, rather pitiful and pathetic. Oh, well, Elizabeth Elliot, yeah, she's one of those traditionalists. And you can call me a traditionalist if you want to. I've been called much worse things than that. But it's not just tradition. I'm not going by tradition. I'm going by what the Bible says. And the fact is that a tradition would not be a tradition if it didn't work. Right? Well, I think so. Why is it a tradition? Well, because it works. A convention becomes a convention because it springs from necessity. Now, what is the meaning of masculinity. Meaning, you say? Well, what do you mean, meaning? Well, that's the problem, isn't it? We don't know what masculinity means in this day and age. And I hope that before I finish this series of talks, that there might be a little bit more clarity in some of the minds of my listeners. When masculinity, when meaning is lost, everything is lost. When the meaning of masculinity is lost, then all sorts of problems result. Let's take dating, for example. I asked a group of men at a missionary conference, these were students, how many of you would like to be asked for a date? I was absolutely floored that literally hundreds of hands went up. Shall I put up a sign-up sheet at the back? I asked. There were cheers and whistles. Well, several months ago, I talked about courtship. I got letters telling me, you know, you're really a radical. Your views are so radical. They're just not acceptable in this day and age. I talked about prayer, waiting on God, endurance of sexual desire, a willingness to let God show you his way. Well, how do you do this? What is a man's source of strength? In Ezekiel 48, verse 11, I read this, "The sons of Zadok kept my charge and did not follow the Israelites when they went astray." There is a statement about a group of men, the sons of Zadok, one of the priests. They kept God's charge and therefore did not follow the Israelites when they went astray. What is your source of strength? Will you keep God's charge, seek his way, pray for strength to endure, pray to be delivered from sexual temptation, and use your two legs to run from it when it comes? Paul said to Titus, "Flee youthful lusts." From whom do you take your cues in this hazardous matter of the dynamics between men and women in a corrupt world that has lost its bearings?
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.